time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Now, I do have a young lady on the line, and I'm asking her to wait till the next 4 minutes because it's just too short a period of time. So I can meander a little bit and talk with you and sort of pass the time by introducing myself to, if you're a new listener. My job here is to help people. So I will spend some time with Kim, who said she was a prostitute and on heroin and all the rest of it. And she spent her whole life that way. And she's not young anymore. She's 44, but she's not old. And there's a future for her. And I've said she's a princess. And this all because she never had a father. All the problems in America have because we didn't have fathers. Either in jail, 78% of all the people in jail, that was the last statistic I got some years ago, probably more now, they all have no fathers. And then they're brought up by women. Women can't bring up men. They can't. It's a rare one that can. And that one doesn't do it, but she has to have a special dispensation. She has to have a spiritual quality like a man, so she has to have that quality of a noble man and put aside her femininity and her femaleness and to bring so that the light of God could shine through her on the boy. So therefore, even though he's 5 years old, she looks at the 5-year old son as Mary looks at Jesus as, well, not quite Lord, but that was the attitude. You know what saved my life when my father died? I was, I think, 12 when he died, and we didn't have hardly any money. And my mother, God rest her soul, she was very, very tied to my father, and she was spoiled as a kid, but she was shallow but nice, decent. And so what she did is turn to me as if I was the head of the home. I became the head of the home, but it was a natural for me to fall into that role. I say that if you have troubles with men or you lost your husband and you have a 3-year-old or 5-year-old, don't think you have to mother him. He has all the essences of what a man is in him, and you don't. And therefore, you encourage the man in him by asking him what he thinks. Don't try to be his teacher. Now, assume that he already has it. And you will see your child, your 5-year-old, your 3-year-old, your 7-year-old, rise to the occasion of giving you some of the most remarkable answers you ever heard in your life come out of a kid. So now I've been that way ever since. And I've encouraged my children, to be less female-centered and more God-centered. See, you cannot have a woman. I keep telling them, you cannot have a woman without her having you until you find the purpose for which you created. And so that the inordinate need for a woman is a horrible weakness. And it is worthy of contempt by every woman, even though they pretend to embrace it and fawn over you and tell you how wonderful you are. That's if they want to hold you, but women have secret contempt for the need that is unconsciously promoted by them on the behest by men calling upon it, and them not able not to rise, to prevent rising to the occasion. Sometimes they resent the man in order not to rise to the occasion, but feel guilty for not rising to the occasion of doing her duty, so to speak. Yuck. Yucky yuck. So, all the problems in America, all the problems on earth, all the wars and the misery and suffering focused on Adam and Eve. Man born of woman comes back to the woman to achieve what Adam did not. But first of all, he has to be saved from women. In other words, there's got to be a process which he can undergo it while being married or being shacking up. He can actually experience the pain of conscience following him, saying, this is not the right way. And if he stops in the middle and says, yes, what is the right way? And then the minute he wants to know what the right way is, the right way descends into him. Okay, now let's continue talking to Kim. I'm Roy Masters.
It's time for Advice Line.
Open your eyes. How are you?
Well, I don't know what it was, but I also, that was just, what did you do?
I help you experience God. I help you experience God.
You're listening to Advice Line. Call 1-800-866-8883. Here's Roy.
Now, Kim, let's discuss your addiction, shall we?
Yes, Mr. Masters.
Now, I want you to know, first of all, what you need is faith. Now, let me describe what faith is.
Okay.
Let me help you arrive at it very simply. Where am I coming from?
You're coming from faith.
From where? Go ahead.
From the light.
Do you see that?
Yes.
Now, that makes me believable, right? Fair, if I tell you something?
Yes.
I say now, because you can see it and you embrace it, do you love that light? Not me. Get me out of the way. Just, I'm the vehicle, you see the light, and I say this light loves you. It always did. And if you had a father that was noble, if your father was like me, coming from the light and not being a womanizer, you know, and ran off because he couldn't deal with the forces at work that are now at work inside you.
The light is so good. I love the light.
I know you do. And now you listen to what I have to say.
Okay.
Because what I'm saying penetrates what we call the subconscious and your consciousness. But your consciousness is more important, that you can see. In other words, you have a gift of seeing where I'm coming from, which means, and if you love where I'm coming from, you have embraced it already. There's nothing more to do than embrace what you see and love what you see in me in a roundabout way, without you realizing it, without me asking you to have faith. You now have it.
Yes.
Now, before, now you love the truth, you will not see your conscience as the enemy, because you used to see your conscience as the enemy.
Okay.
And see, that's why you took drugs, because your dark side, the fact that you were broken, and you may have a little exorcism here. It's possible that right on this program you might have one. And I'm just warning you that it could happen.
Okay.
Because you have filled yourself with the substance of men. And this has caused you conflict.
Yes.
It's made you mannish.
Yes.
Hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
And you hate that about
it.
But you don't know how to have any other relationship with men except what the one you have. And I say to you, you don't need to have a relationship with men. You cannot find God in them. They're not abundant. You're not going to find them in men. It's a bit late for that for you.
Yes,
I know. But you'll find the God of men inside yourself. The God of man inside me bears witness to the God of man and woman inside you. So in other words, if Jesus was here, and you saw the light in him, and if Jesus was speaking to you now and saying, look, the light in me uses me as an instrument and a spokesperson. And the light in me says, all I want you to believe is that my God has forgiven you. Just believe that and know that's true, and your burdens will be relieved. And they will be. So
okay.
I'm going to ask you to close your eyes now.
Okay.
And are you sitting down somewhere?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now put your right hand by your side and put the phone in your left hand and put it to your ear.
Okay, it is.
Okay, now with your eyes closed, I want you to follow some very simple instructions. Very simple.
Okay.
I'm going to bring you to the light. In other words, I'm going to bring your consciousness from being lost in your head so that you can actually stand back from your thoughts and the light can shine into you and transform you. That's simple. And now, you have all the ingredients. You have everything in you for this to happen. It's already there. I just have to show you the way. I know the way that they say is Jesus, and it is, but no one knows the way to that spirit in them because they're too lost in their heads, too caught up in religions. You know what it does.
Yes.
It's become the authority. Too caught up in doctors, they become the authority. Too caught up with their husbands and wives, and they are subject to authority. So you are subject to no authority except this inner light I'm talking to. You now have given up your right to do anything but what is right in your heart. In other words, you don't have a choice. When you're saved, you can only see one thing. You can only see what lies ahead immediately and have the courage to go through that door fearlessly. You see clearly what lies ahead. This is what it will be. And there will be no worry about whether you should do this or that or wrangling in your mind. In other words, everything will be clear as to what to do effortlessly. Your eyes have a second way of looking at things. See? Now,
yes.
Keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
And now, look at your eyelids.
Okay.
Now, are you aware of your eyelids?
Not really.
Well, I want you to be aware of your eyelids.
Okay.
Just
I'm
be aware that
my
they...
eyelids.
Yeah, just your eyelids, like
okay.
You're looking from... Like you're looking with your soul.
Okay.
At your eyelids. See that?
Yes.
Now, if you do that, your forehead... Because you have two eyes, your forehead's in the way, and therefore your forehead lights up.
Can I
in other words,
you,
it lights up like there's a little light show in your head, like pixels, like a TV with no picture on it, but the power's still on, and it's got that little, all those little lights, pixels moving around. You've seen it, you see it when you lose the picture, and it's got that frying look with little pixels running around. See that? Okay, now that's the light. Now, I now want you to be aware of your right hand. I want you to, with your mind's eye, be aware of your right hand sitting by your side, and be aware of your first finger. The minute you become aware of your first finger, it should start to tingle just by being aware of it. I don't want you to use any effort. I want you to be aware of that first finger. Can you feel the awareness of the finger and feel it tingling just a little bit?
I can.
Good. Now go to the second finger and make that tingle just by shifting your attention to it. There's a power there. That energy, that tingling is energy coming from within. Energy that will protect you against all kinds of intimidations and to protect you from needing anything but this warmth of energy that will come from within you. Bring your attention to the third finger. And then the little finger, so your hand tingles warm. So tell me when that you feel that tingling.
I can feel it.
You can feel it, good. Now, when you open your eyes, you will see the world differently. You will have forgiven. In other words, what your father failed to do, what your mother did to you, what other men have done to you, the love you've looked for in the wrong places, all your anger towards God and your dad and all your men, this is no longer important. That's called forgiveness. And instead of that, in place of that will become a light that will enable you to see deeply into things. It will be like you had a infrared light, and you can see, your eyes will see, but you can, there's another little light that shines on things, and you can see just ahead, you can see into people. And you can see things that are just about to happen, the bad things, and you can avoid them. Where you couldn't see it before, you walked right into it.
Yes.
That is called grace. Now, in other words, the word resentment, I want you to focus on that for a minute. Resentment is judgment. And the whole secret of life now is to give up judgment. But you have to understand where judgment originates. It originates in something called resentment towards people, resentment towards injustice. Now, listen carefully. Animals cannot be resentful. They can be angry, but not resentful. Resentfulness opens the door of your mind to all kinds of mischief and lets the darkness in. So that everything about your life and body is motivated by it. So every time you're resentful towards anyone. Now, the resentment is this. You once had light when you were a child, and you could see the way you shall see again. And when you saw the injustice, when you saw, you started to be resentful. When you saw, when you looked for love in the wrong places, you didn't know that your resentment had separated you from the light, and you looked for completion through men that didn't have it to give you. And you resented again, and you resented again, and resented again. And that caused conflict and pain. And then you took the life of prostitution, sort of to get control over men instead of men controlling you. But you still weren't happy. You still had that conflict, and your conscience became your enemy. But you really had no friends, even though, you know, you always wanted them, but they were no good to you. But when you are given to see an injustice, a harm, a cruelty, a betrayal, when you're given to see that, instead of seeing it and being protected by seeing it and not being angry or resentful, the minute you start to be resentful, that light goes out and becomes judgment, and something rises up inside you like a cobra and becomes a judgmental, hateful person. That is further and further away. The more angry you are, the more resentful you are, the further you are away from the God, the more hungry you are for love in all the wrong places. So now, when you see people doing wrong to you, they understand they cannot more help themselves doing harm to you than you can help doing harm to others or being hurt and becoming what you are. People cannot help themselves. Nobody can. But from now onwards, you will see that there's something in people that wants you to hate them so that you feel guilty. And out of that guilt, out of that hate, you feel guilt like you've done something wrong, and you want to make up to people to make it right, and you make it up to all the wrong people, and they betray you again. And so it goes round and round in a circle. So right now, the forgiveness of your Creator is within you, and if you accept it, when you open your eyes, everything will be different. So that people who are mean to you, it will be like watching a bad movie. In other words, you see them, they're mean, you see they're cruel, but you could be patient with them. That patience is grace. The fact that you can endure all things. From now onwards, you must endure. Meaning, you're going to meet people who are mean. It doesn't stop, except you're not going to get resentful towards it. There is your key. Got it? Open your eyes. Now look around. You tell me what you see. How things look.
What's different?
What's the difference?
I don't know. It's just when I opened my eyes. First, I saw light.
Yes.
And it was kind of, things were kind of almost like hazy.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
I don't know, it just looks different.
You feel like a little distant, a distance between you and the objects, like you're seeing a bad movie.
Yeah.
Well, that distance is important. You must place a quiet distance between you and people and not look to join, to become fused with them as if that was love. There's got to be a gentle distance between, like there's a gentle distance between me and you. I'm not stuck on you and you're not stuck on me. But the light has kept me distant from you, but so that my love doesn't help you, because mine's earthy love. My love would be a lying love. But if I'm distant from you, I allow light to pass through me into you so that you will not be attached to me.
Well, that's interesting.
See that? So you have that now.
Wow. I want to ask you something. When you were talking to me, I don't know if it was because I was cold, but I started shaking.
I know. You see, you may have an exorcism.
It was really weird. And then I stopped and I started shaking, like really violently, kind of.
Yes.
I didn't know if it's because I'm outside the payphone and it's cold out. You know, I don't have a warm jacket, but it was really weird.
It was like a trembling from within.
Yeah. It was,
because I was rattling the cage of the dark side, because you've drawn energy from men dying to you.
I was shaking violently. It was weird.
I know. That's an exorcism.
Oh, my
God. That's a mild one.
Yeah.
You'll be all right. It's going away now.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, call me tomorrow.
You want me to? I can.
I do. I want you to call me tomorrow.
I would like
and
that.
Can I send you some material to a place? If you'll give your name and your address to my producer, he will send you a package that will help you.
Thank you, Mr. Masters.
And have a good life. And don't be afraid to call me.
I won't now. I won't be afraid now.
Now listen, if you will go forward and I don't need to help you. You need to find a way to... the light will show you the way.
Okay.
Somebody, some kind person. You'll draw kinder people. You'll naturally draw a better kind of person who will help you and not hurt you. But don't look for it. It will happen of itself. And then when you've learned some skills, it might come a time I could use you and you could work for me.
Oh, that would be so wonderful.
But you have to become stronger. It may take a year or so.
I've been working on it. That's
okay.
Why, I mean, I wasn't strong before to come, you know?
But you weren't strong. You're still not yet.
No.
But you will be, okay?
Yes, okay.
I don't want to make you dependent on me. Don't you understand that?
No, that's not good. No.
It's not good, no. You'll make it. You've got that inner light. You'll do it. You'll do just fine.
Thank you.
You survived
so much.
Up to now. You'll survive.
I am a survivor.
I know you are. Be good.
Okay.
Bye. Call tomorrow or the next day, either way. Oh, let's see. Tomorrow's David's time, so Monday. How about Monday? Yeah. Okay. All right, now, Julie in Las Vegas. Hello, Julie.
Hello.
What can I do for you?
Well, I probably have a couple statements now and then a question. And
all right.
You
all
said
right.
Something about with women it was a curse to be pretty.
Well, it's a tendency for men to, you know, to shine a light and all the dogs run after you and you end up getting just one of those dogs, not a gentleman.
Correct. So my statement, my comment was on that. And so I have been single for quite some time, and I really wanted to find out from you what you would say the characteristics of the men who would be noble. And then also, if a noble man...
I think you know it. I think you know what it is to be a noble. If you haven't seen it on a movie somewhere and said that's what nobility is. You've
yeah,
seen,
I've seen it in a movie. I just haven't seen it in my life. And so
I know you, but you kind of know what it is. You kind of know it when it's been acted out in front of you, kind of. Even if it's acted as a character in a movie, you'll recognize the qualities of it.
So and to clarify with some of what you're saying, if in meeting that, if a noble man and a noble woman are together, do you think that... I want to say intimacy is not something that should be there?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Because it's pure, it's purified. See, if you don't have sex before and jump in the hopper, you know, in the sack right away, if you are engaged and he loves you for yourself and he's a gentleman and restrains himself and he doesn't even notice that he doesn't show that there is a certain restraint. It could be a restraint that goes on for several years. But he loves you for yourself and protects you. And if you're tired and sleepy, he picks you up and puts you into bed without going to bed with you.
Right, right, okay.
You, well, you know, that kind of, like a dad quality.
Well,
but it's also
a
husband. It's also a husband, you see.
Right, and I begin to wonder if that was even possible. A lot of men tell me that I'm not realistic, that I would find a man being beautiful and being vivacious, being successful, that it's just natural for a man to want to be with me that way. And I said, you know, and I believe it's possible.
Well, it depends on who's speaking. Who is telling you this? I wouldn't be telling you that it's natural to want to be that way with you, because I've got to know you first. I got to look into your soul. Now I made my mistakes, you know, when I was a young man, and so I got married, and I've been married 58 years now. My anniversary was just last week, and
wow.
So I had a rough life with my wife, and still do to some degree. But the point is, I've learned to be a man.
Okay.
So I haven't had a relationship with my wife for 38 years. And so, but that's all right, because I have to love her like a father. Because if I love her like any old man, I'll be a dirty old man, just using her for what she's worth. But what I want to do is to make her a princess.
Correct.
But the trouble is, she wants to be a princess in my eyes to begin with, so I should worship that princess. I want to bring out the princess in her, but that isn't there, that's pretending to be one that caught me, that made me attracted to her, that really wasn't there.
Right.
See, a woman puts on a face, a charm, and I got snared by it.
Right, and I do everything I can to try to, and my friends say, Julie, you exude sexuality, you can't not. And it's like, but I try not to, because
you don't want to.
Lusted.
What you need to do is dress down.
I do.
Cut down the makeup, cut down the pretty clothes, and wear simpler, more business-like clothes.
Because
the tendency is to, and even then it will shine through, you know what I mean? But the point is, you have to be not easy to get. And you have to learn to reject men who you know what they want with grace, and not make them feel rejected and angry, but make them feel a little ashamed. See,
well, and that's my question, is I'm always very kind and gentle, but men still, if I tell them, no, I really don't want to go into the bedroom with you,
but hold it right there. That's not a question a man ever asks a lady.
I live in Sin City. They all ask that.
But then you move out of Sin City.
Good point. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
you move out of Sin City.
For the rest of my life, that I'm going to maintain being single and just, you know, being single.
I would be single rather than marry a pig.
Yes. Okay.
That's the only choice you got. Wait for the right one to come along. Because if you don't wait for the right one to come along, you'll jump into the sack with all the wrong ones.
Well, I had been hoping I could meet somebody in a wheelchair that I say just doesn't, that's not even an option for them, that they love me, we're in love in the mind and in the heart and not in the crotch.
A woman like you can love a man even if he had no arms and legs.
Absolutely.
You see, because you could love him for his soul. Wait for one of those, and meanwhile, enjoy your life.
You
know, buy a nice boat, you know, and find some meaning. Find something, do something you enjoy. Forget them.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye. All right, because most of them are pigs. All right, including me. All right, we'll be right back. You too, yes.
All of us.
I'm a producer.
Especially me.
Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, please, would you consider helping me? Because I don't know if it's the economic conditions the worst in 100 years. But there's still 90% of the people working. And we have noble men and women in the military that I am dedicated to them and give my life for them as they give their life for me. Most of you have given your life and wasted it on all kinds of nonsense, foolishness, squandered it. But they haven't. They have given their life to bringing America to other world, to the rest of the world. But while America's falling apart, what a effect on their morality it must have. No wonder post-traumatic stress disorder is on the rise and men are committing suicide by the droves. You know, there was more men committed suicide from the Vietnam War than that died in the war. Yeah, 150,000. 50,000 deaths, 150,000 from suicide. They didn't tell you that, did they? Well, you only have to know that we don't have this bigger army or military that we had then. It was 500,000 that went to Iraq under George Bruce Sr. And so we only have a small force now, but there's 12,000 committing suicide every year. And it's growing. And I know how to stop it. I need your help. And the government isn't helping yet. We hope for the Pentagon to jump in, because they can't, they like what we're doing. I know for sure. I've had some calls from them thanking me. But I want you to thank me, because you can thank me with money. And what one thing you can do is buy one of their CDs, so you know what I'm giving them. But then use it yourself, because Be Still and Know is on there. That's the first thing you see. That's CD. The rest of it is data, so if you have a computer, you can hear the rest of it. There's several hours on it. It's only $25 is all it is, including shipping and handling. That makes it nice and simple. And it's a nice little package, and you see all the comments of soldiers who used it. Their lives were saved. Stress was killing them until they discovered coping strategies. And now the very stress that was killing them, making them well. We can convert the stress of the adversary as a psychic jujitsu, a psychic karate, martial arts. We can turn that around on the adversary. You can do the same thing with anyone who bullies you. I'm not to be trifled with, and I'm 82. Really not to be trifled with. I don't care if you're 10 feet tall. David was only maybe 5'8", 9", like me. And he took on Goliath. It didn't bother him. He was going to be intimidated by that. He just had a stone and a slingshot and was pretty sure of himself. That's the way to be. Now, but we need to help soldiers who've lost that quality. And if their injury is turned against them. I can't tell you because I'm running out of time. Call my office and ask for coping strategies, $25, and that goes to helping the soldiers. Everyone who buys one helps several soldiers. Okay, thank you very much.
You call me 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Because he's a quickie. Let's take Dave. Let's have a light-hearted one first, because it seems like he's already got some help. Then we'll take David after that in Las Vegas. New caller. David, Fremont, California. K-Dawn.
Hello, Dave. Hello. I'm just calling tonight. My heart is so full of joy, and I just want to say to you, my dear friend, how your ministry is making such a difference within my family, not only within myself, but my mother is doing the exercise, and one of my brothers is doing the exercise, and it's such wonders are starting to unfold, and I just want to say, thank you, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of distributing the coping strategies, CDs to the veterans here in Fremont. Thank you so much, Roy.
Thank you, David. I really, it's very sweet of you to call. It's nice. You made my day. Thank you. And we're going to go to another David in Las Vegas. Hello, David.
Oh, hi, Roy. I want to say, too, thanks, because I did get the coping strategies and sent to my son in Afghanistan.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It was like a couple weeks ago. And the ladies in the office were really sweet about everything, so it was wonderful.
Good. How about you?
Well, I have a question. I downloaded the meditation.
Yeah, that's what you sent to your son, basically. That's the first thing he hears. Yeah.
Yeah. And I started listening and I started doing it. And I found that initially that I would fall asleep every time.
That happens.
That happens. Okay.
That's a kind of escape.
Okay.
A kind of denial.
That began to wear off, and I was able to stay awake.
Okay.
But I noticed that, you talked about, just observing your thoughts, and I noticed that thoughts would arise, and when they would, I would feel kind of like a discharge, a little like an emotional discharge when I would kind of separate from a thought and actually see it.
Yes.
And I thought, well, this is good, because I'd feel a little better. Now, I want to tell you something about me. I have felt a pressure in the back of my eyes and at the occiput area for probably about 35 years.
Yes.
And it happened when I was very young, and I don't want to go into the incident that
right.
was there, but because of time. But I notice now that this began to relieve. This very pressure would begin to relieve a little bit more, after every meditation, or shortly after, or during, or at some
yes.
point. But I noticed also that over the last week or so that I've been getting kind of dizzy every day a little bit. It was like...
It's like you're spinning round and round. It's like when you spin round and round and you stop, and the world's spinning around you when you stop.
Yeah, it's short, but it's kind of scaring me because it's
don't let it scare you. Don't let it scare you. See, your mind... Listen carefully. Your mind is cyclic. You know what I mean by cyclic?
I do.
It means it spins, and it comes back to the same thing again and again. It spins, goes round and round, and it's alive. And the thoughts keep occurring to you, and this. Some are good, some are not bad, some you act on, some you repress. But you've been lost in your head for a long time in conflict.
That's an understatement.
Okay. Well, that's where the problem of stress is, and that feeling behind your eyes could be a serious problem, but apparently it isn't. Apparently, it's just stress, and as that stress gets relieved, as you step back from the thoughts and break the spell that thoughts have over your consciousness, there's an equivalent relief, and it should go pretty fast. And the key to this is not just the meditative processes giving you release, but and the memories that come up for review. Because these memories are simply meant to, they need healing. They come up to get your attention so that you can resolve the problem that is stuck inside you and suppressed.
Well, I have to admit, I have been running for a long, long time. First off, I never knew about these things when I was younger. And, how would I say it? It's just to maintain a functionality. And, I've lived, what you might say, a pretty normal life. I've married, have a son, and I've been a musician all my life. And I've lived three colleges, and essentially lived a rather normal life. But in the background was all this anxiety continually.
Of course.
You know,
but you're going to really live a normal life, and you're going to be. See, I have a friend who's a physicist. He's an engineer, and he's just retired after 42 years with a very big company as an engineer. And
yes,
and it's taken him, even though he's listened to me for 30 years and done rather well, it's only my close association with him about doing work with him that has helped me to get into the inner meanings of things where, because he says to me that, and I won't tell you who it is, it's just, he's just a caller and a friend, and I want to use him as an example. He said, I was finding, because I didn't know when I went into physics, into an engineer, I had to pick something, and I felt pressured, and I've been pressured all my life. I had to learn all these different equations and everything, and I finally managed it and got a good job for 40 years, but after the last several years, I was becoming less and less productive, and the reason was he was running on angry energy. Because when people are tired, they get angry. When they're at work and the work starts to suffer, they can get upset, but because they hit their thumb with a hammer, and then they get angry, and all of us got the energy to work and finish the job. But then on the way home, the tendency for some people is to stop to get a drink, and pretty soon they spend their wages on hard-earned wages on drinking. But he didn't. He was a good family man, but he had a lot of repression, and he was driven. He really didn't like his work, but he was kind of good at it, and he put on a good performance. But there's a lot of stress. And then when he started to get better and I helped him overcome these things, when he retired, he felt guilty for being retired. He felt like there's something wrong, that he just there's something wrong. He needed a purpose. I said, no, you need the rest. You need to go hunting. You need to go shooting. You need to do all the things. Never mind working with me on our project. That will come later. He felt so relieved because he felt guilty. But actually the guilt had caught up with him for running on the wrong energy. And the guilt will always talk to you and give you the wrong solutions to everything. I said, no, the right solution, you need the rest. You need to recover. And he felt so relieved to hear that because it was the truth. But there's something that talks to you inside that drives you.
Yes, and I have been that kind of person.
Yes.
I was, wondering, why does this story sound so familiar?
Yeah, that's right. So, but look.
Mine, of course, wasn't anger. It was anxiety,
No, but it was also a lot. The anxiety has to do with, you're going to see a lot of resentment behind the anxiety as you start to proceed with the meditation exercise. You're going to see anger. Anxiety thoughts are built on a basis of resentment that you can't see. You only feel it as anxiety around people about things.
I believe. So now that you're putting it into words, I've actually have kind of glanced at that. I kind of feel it coming up.
You'll see it. You'll see it. You'll see the anger towards people, the injustices, the impatience, and this and that. You'll see it. And when you see it, do not struggle with it. Just see it.
Yes,
remember
yes,
the secret. The key to this is the light will show it to you, but the light. You'll admit, you don't want to learn this lesson the hard way. The light that shows it to you is the light that will fix it. Don't roll your sleeves up and deal with it. Just just feel the embarrassment of it. Sometimes it'll be embarrassing, the shame, the pain. But that will pass very quickly. Just look at it and keep looking at it until it goes away. Bingo. End. There's absolutely nothing for you to do for your recovery except look at each thing as you need it. And especially in the future, when you meet injustice, learn to stand back from yourself and watch their mouths opening and closing and see their dirty deeds. But watch your resentment so it doesn't wash over you and reinfect you.
Got it? No, you're talking so directly to me, it's hard not to hear. Because everything you're saying is so right on the money in a way. I can relate to everything you're telling me, especially about the judgments and things, because
that's right.
I've always had this thing about injustice,
And where did you get that from? Well, everybody has. Look, everybody thinks if they resent injustice that they're just. No, when you resent injustice, you become injustice. And then you bury it. You become the thing you hate. And injustice wants to create new recruits by being unjust because they know that it tempts you to hate. If you want to hate injustice, don't hate it.
No, it is directly from my mother. This is a gift from my mother.
I was going to say that. I was the next thing I was going to tell you.
She was very good at giving gifts.
You just took the words out of my mouth.
But I guess what you're saying to me is, you know, what's really interesting is how simple this process is, but how penetrating it really is.
I know
it. You don't suspect how penetrating it can be.
But you see why it's been hidden for thousands of years. How do you think Jesus talked to people? He was a believable man, saying very simple, believable things, and much of it's got lost. The simplicity of it has got lost. But I rediscovered it, or it discovered me. It discovered me in my searching, and said, this is what you do. This is what you show people.
Yes. And you do. And you do a very good job of it, if I might say
and
so.
And I'm happy to do it.
I can tell.
I enjoy myself every evening.
Yes, that's evident too. So,
thank you very much for calling. I hope you do well, and don't be afraid to call me again if you have a problem.
So you're saying don't be too concerned about these little things that go on physically?
No. Okay. Just watch it. I have been through hell. I can't tell you the hell I've been through with medicine and medications. And I still have to go on. I'm still not finished yet because I had a operation to correct an operation a long time ago. But if I had not known and held a steady hand, a steady state, I would have been dead a long time ago, but the actual, I can go through those experiences as if it wasn't happening to me.
Yes.
See that?
Well, I have been to your website. I've been to your website a couple of times, and you look like a very vital and, person to me.
82 on April the 2nd, hint. Got to go. God bless you, because we're coming to a break. And call me again. Call me if you need me. Anybody needs me again, you can call me again, because there are little hiccups that you had to take care of. We'll be right back. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to beg of you to help my work. It's not been forthcoming from as many people as it ought to be. And it's so easy to manipulate people into giving, you know that? You know, I'm not one of those circus barkers in religious guise. I do my job, and I have a huge responsibility. I've got to help hundreds of thousands of men and women, veterans of all the wars, which we don't charge anything for anything, and we operate with the help of Patriot Outreach as an organization with generals and on the board of directors and psychiatrists, and they're all on board with what we're doing. And so all that is free in your language, grants in military language. In other words, we do not charge soldiers for anything. And one day we hope that the military will, the brass will see a way to support this work, because it works. It's a grassroots movement as of now, but it's spreading like wildfire. And men are getting better. They're not killing themselves. Huge percentage of them are getting well. And there's one even who had post-traumatic stress disorder, went back into the military, which is the rarest thing on earth. He was discharged with it, but now he's proved himself so cured that they let him back in the military. He wanted to go back. So it's a remarkable thing. And I don't know how many others, but I heard of one. And that came from Colonel Monaco himself. He says he can't believe his ears, that they actually saw him so cured and so strong that he went back to the battlefield because he wanted to go. And so, then I have a school. And then I have a prison ministry that anything they need, they get. Now, how can I do that? I've got 15 employees. I'm not getting enough money, not anywhere near enough money. So we're going to be running out of savings soon. And then, boop, we're gone. All it disappears. Whole lifetime. Help support the program. If you only buy a coping strategies and never use it, just put it on the shelf or give it to someone. That will enable me to help several military men and women and veterans of past wars. Thank you very much. I'll be right back.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was a look thought of something shocking, but now God knows anything goes.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
I do hope you've enjoyed the program tonight. All unrehearsed, of course. Every night, you never know what you're going to get. But you're going to get a dose of truth that could wake you up. But if you're not careful, it could also hurt you. It may hurt your ears a little bit. It's like getting your ears boxed. And you might get a little frightened of the things I'm saying because something inside you has been saying it all along, but you haven't paid any attention to it. You thought there was something wrong with you. All right, now we're going to say to Scott in Santa Rosa, hello, you're listening to KDORN, big,
yes,
powerful,
yes,
station. Hello,
yes.
Scott.
Real pleasure to talk to you, Roy.
Thank you.
Listened to you for quite a while, and I've understood everything you've, I know this sounds funny, ever said, really, what you're getting across, your message. And I've called you tonight just to figure out what's going on with me. I have to tell you a lot of stuff, I guess, real quick to try to tell you where I'm at. But,
well, it says you have resentment towards Dad.
Well, you know, that is something I'm wondering if how much that has affected me.
Oh, yeah, it's, yeah, everything. No, everything.
Yeah.
If you listen carefully,
mm-hmm,
let me start off with a simple statement. If you resent or hate the father you can see, you will never find the father you cannot see.
I've tried to forgive him over the years.
No, you can't forgive him. Uh-huh. You can't forgive him. You don't know what forgiveness is.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see that there's a reason why you hate the father. Perhaps you could tell me what the reason is that you resent him.
I just never felt it. The guy embarrassed me, and I was always the one to perform well and, you know, over-succeed and always try to prove myself to him, but I could never do anything right to the guy. He had a lot of friends. He was a good father.
He pushed you.
I'm sorry?
No. How is it he's a good father? What do you mean?
That's a
strange thing to you. It's a combination that makes sense.
Yes, I understand. I appreciate you bringing that up, because that's something I'm trying to figure out. He provided...
I think you want him to be a good father,
but
he wasn't.
Yes.
I think you want him to be a good father so you could love him.
Yes, I tried to look for the good side of the little things he did, but for some reason, Roy, he provided for the family, and I was an only child, so like the focus was on me, and it always seemed... like I could not do things perfect for him. And in the meantime, I've always felt like I had to do things perfect to feel good about myself.
But did he insist? No, the more you try to please him, mm-hmm, did he disparage that? Did he reward you or disparage you and say, no, you're not doing good enough?
Always not good enough. Always.
Okay, so you never could be good enough.
Yes,
so
sir.
Your father had an insecurity himself. In,
yes,
other words, you were better than him. I want you to know how he saw you, as a rival,
mm-hmm,
and as a threat.
I felt that.
He was a compensator himself.
Yes, I felt that. I felt that, Roy.
And he had a reason in his background why he became that way.
Oh, he's kind of a wimp around my mom. I know that. In the meantime, I hate to say that, to take his inventory, but I know...
Well, he was... Then your mother degraded him.
Yeah, well, because I never had a good relationship, Roy, with women. I've had the divorce, marriage not work out, engagement, and I've always felt like...
Well, no, the reason is because when you resent your father,
uh-huh,
you get bonded to your mother, and
yes,
this bonding is a very dangerous thing. The role of a good father is for him to be not bonded to his wife, but the wife bonded to him. Just
uh-huh,
the opposite. in a healthy way. She feels safe with him. That's the key to that. Oh, because he's noble and he's not a user.
Right.
But he's not a sexual lover, you know, a luster.
Right.
And so therefore, but your father was a wimp and your mother resented him.
Yes. Yes.
And so had contempt for him, and he and the more he tried to love her, the more contempt she had for him, and the more inferior he felt. And when you came into the world, he resented you because you were more of a man when you were born than he was, a man of his age. But the trouble is, you remain bonded to women because the sole purpose of a father is to save himself, so to speak, from the influence of women, and to be such a strong sense of manly presence that he draws you away from your mother's apron strings so you could also be a man.
Wow. Yeah, I know that too, because I'm actually as funny as
well. Well, that's why I say you have to let your father go.
Yeah. Roy, I felt like there's this part of me that can never, that's all this dark side that stays with me that,
but
that
no,
I can
don't
never
you
heal
listen
and be
that,
complete.
I know, but that dark side, you don't listen to.
I know,
you know it's
I understand
there.
All that. Yeah, I understand that.
But you look, you call me on Monday, and we'll have another chat about this because we're running out of time.
Okay, Roy, I appreciate it.
You know
it.
Me, I don't like to cut you off.
No, that's okay. Great
thank
to talk
you.
To you. I appreciate that. I'll call you back Monday, and thank you for
would
the
you please? Thank
Roy.
You. Thank you very much.
Bless you, Roy.
Thank you. God bless you, too. All right. Well, God bless all of you. If you please, Americans, all of you can have the same grace. Grace is the same to everybody, every race, color, and creed. And that's what the preachers are referring to, but you've got to be not caught up with your preacher. You can't be caught up with anyone. You have to be caught up with God first. See, that's the bond. You have to love God, cleave to Him, and all other things will be added. All other relationships fall in their proper order. 800-877-3227, that's the office number. Website, fhu.com. Please support the broadcast with your tax-deductible donations. Good night. God bless you.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
Are you ready to take control over your life?
Before I got involved in doing the observation exercise, I used to go to a 12-step group. I don't go to them anymore because I discovered that they're basically worthless because all I'm doing is talking about my past. Since I started doing the exercise, I barely think about the past anymore. It's going away. But even in those periods when I used to go to these recovery groups, it seemed like the longest period of time I could ever go without backsliding would be like 3 months. This time, I don't feel guilty about what I did. I understand what I did. This type of an incident in the past would have put me in a depression. I would have stopped working, just created more and more pain for myself. You talk about how you effortlessly will leave these things behind, and it's so true. It's so amazing.
Are you ready to stop struggling? Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Learn how to deal with stress properly. Visit FHU.com. Are you overwhelmed by pressure and stress?
Already things are being resolved in my life. Fences are coming down. I'm mending fences that really broke the ice fly. I'm so grateful.
Are you ready to have your life become a success story?
I had gone through 15 years of therapy with a psychiatrist. It still didn't help. So I bought several of the CDs, and he had a lot of the answers that I didn't get with the doctor. It's been real helpful. I don't get as worked up about problems. I just stay calm. Different things will come up, and I'll just work it out.
Are you ready to stop struggling? Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227. Learn a simple technique that will change your life. Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know.